Welcome to KBPS on PRP, a show featuring local news, music, and conversations, produced by students from AM 1450 KBPS, the Portland Public Schools radio station. I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP, with your FM dial tuned to 99.1. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland, or streaming online from any computer at prp.fm. KBPS on PRP, a new hour-long show featuring KBPS students on Portland Radio Project.
AM 1450 KBPS presents live PIL basketball. Now with all the action, let's go courtside with the KBPS sportscasting crew.
I am Sean Phillips alongside Jacob Patterson for AM 1450 KBPS and live streaming on our updated website, www.kbps.am. Tonight's game features 6A boys basketball as the Franklin Lightning host the Lakeridge Pacers, coming out of the Three Rivers League with a 3-2 overall record. The Lightning of Franklin High School coming in 1-4 this year. Jacob, what can we expect from both of these two schools tonight?
Hey, Sean, a lot of people in the Portland Public School community feeling really good today. Really excited. You know, we're here at Franklin. It's our first game at Franklin this season. Pretty excited to be here. And just sitting here a couple minutes ago during the JV game, we've already seen some dunks being thrown down. So I'm anticipating some high-flying action tonight. Sounds like the Franklin boys varsity team coming in with a 1-4 record really needs to get some action going, you know. So far, not a whole lot going Franklin's way yet this season. So we're going to see if they can turn it around on a Friday night here for the Lightning. But, you know, Lakeridge coming in, the Pacers. You know, these guys, they're looking pretty big, and I'm seeing a pretty significant size advantage on the floor in favor of Lakeridge already. How big of a deal is that going to be? We're about to find out.
Well, we'll find out in a matter of minutes. Let's get down with Lakeridge. They have a lot of guys out there, do the Pacers, with height. And if this is any indication on what I saw on what we saw, rather, when we last did a game together against with Lincoln and their long height and their wingspan, if that comes into play tonight against Franklin, they will have no problems, the Pacers, getting those offensive, defensive rebounds and potentially blocking some shots.
Yeah, I think what we saw, you know, last Friday, Sean, is that Lincoln's opponent, Beaverton, didn't quite get prepared at the beginning of the game enough. But they eventually figured out, you know, hey, we can beat their size with some speed, with some fast breaks, some open threes, and they came back fairly strongly in the second half of that game through speed. And we were kind of talking about, well, if they played a little bit better in the first half, they might have been a closer game to begin with. But, you know, if Franklin could come out and beat them speed-wise and get some open shots and some fast breaks early, who knows? You never know.
Yeah, you never know. Lincoln, smaller unit, but they do have speed to try to go around Lakeridge. Will it be enough for them to pull the win out tonight? Let's go down to the court for the starting lineups right now, as it's going to be introduced right now. We'll start with Lakeridge first up. It is at guard a senior David Getty. At guard and senior Jace Swigard. In the post, a senior Tristan Davis. At guard and at junior, Patrick Naparella. And in the other post, a junior, Cole Holum. The Pacers are coached by David Zong, assisted by Patrick Gregg and Sammy Ibarra. For the Franklin Lightning starters, Here are their five. At guard and junior, Gio Lavert-Tini. At guard and senior, we've got to hold off. We'll get to the starting lineups after the break on KBPS. Back in a moment. Slightly different opening, as it usually is within different high schools, on how they introduce starting lineups or hold off for the pregame festivities here. Sean Phillips and Jacob Patterson back with you. Let's reintroduce to you the Lakers starters in full, as well as Franklin again. At guard and senior for Lakeridge, David Getty. At guard and senior, Jay Swigard. At the post and senior, Tristan Davis. At guard and junior, Patrick Naparella. And in the post and junior, Cole Holum. The Pacers are coached by David Zong, assisted by Patrick Craig and Sammy Ibarra. And now the starting lineups for the home Franklin Lightning. Coached by Mark Grassman in his first year. He was an assistant coach last year for Franklin. Gio Lavert-Tini, the guard and junior, getting introduced first for the Lightning. At guard and senior, Antonio Foster. At forward and senior, Owen Combs. At guard and junior, Dominic Papworth. And at wing and at forward, a junior, Quaje Leila. The Lightning are coached by Mark Grassman, assisted by Thomas Frenthebois. Those are the starting five for both schools. Jacob, I understand you had an interview with one of the health service people here.
You know, Sean, when we come out to these games, yeah. I always, you know, every once in a while, you know, a bad injury happens and a student gets hurt, and the medical professionals are there waiting to help. And I've always wanted to interview them, just talk with them about what they do. And we had an opportunity to speak with one of those people before the game tonight, and thought that, you know, students, health ox students at Benson might appreciate it, and radio students learning how to interview someone at a game might appreciate it.
Let's go to the interview right now.
We are here live at Franklin High School in the gymnasium, getting ready for some Friday night basketball action. Lakeridge in-house to take on the Lightning. And we got a couple minutes before the game kicks off, and we're here with one of the medical professionals that is on standby, that works at these games to help students out if anything ever goes wrong. And first of all, thank you so much for a minute of your time. Tell us your name and what is, like, your official title?
Okay, yeah. My name is Sherilyn. My official title, I'm a licensed and certified athletic trainer. I have my master's degree. And I work for Providence. So Providence, they contract us, and we're all at all the PIL schools, and we just come out here, and yeah, we take care of all the athletes.
That's awesome. Well, first of all, you know, kind of tell us, walk us through a night in your life, and what are the things that you do, what are the things that you watch for, and how do you help students?
Yeah, so for, like, tonight when we have, like, games and stuff like this, so basically I come a little early just to see if kids need to get taped or if they need, like, any scrapes or bumps, anything wrapped up before the game, all that good stuff, just pregame prep. And then I basically sit and watch the game, and I have my medical kit with me. I have my AED, my splints and all that stuff, just all my emergency equipment. And basically I'm watching the game, and if somebody gets hit in the head, I'm on that. If somebody goes down and is not responsive, I'm on that. So we do anything from, like, you know, if somebody has a bloody nose, I'll stop a bloody nose. Or if I need to call EMS and we need to get somebody to the hospital, I'm responsible for that too. So we got a few different things that we are responsible for game day, but making sure everybody is safe and is playing good and is comfortable. And if somebody's having any kind of injury issues or anything like that, we address that as well.
You know, those are the moments that when everyone comes to the game and we see a kid go down and get hurt, you know, it's just our hearts just stop, and everybody's like, you know, there, we catch our breath, and there's this, like, silent, still moment when we're all just hoping and wishing for nothing but the best. And, you know, very few of us in that moment have the courage to be the one running out there to help. That is amazing that you have that ability to do that.
Right, and the thing is like it, a lot of that stuff takes practice and repetition. So we are very highly educated healthcare professionals. I've done 4 years of undergrad where I was a biology pre-medicine major, and then I went to grad school for 2.5 years, and that's where I got my master's degree. So it does take a lot of the mental capability, but we do have a lot of education. We do have a lot of training, and we are really prepared in our education programs and then through our residencies and stuff like that. So we are very highly prepared, and you know, it's just always making sure you're running through some situations in your head to make sure that you're ready for literally anything that could happen. So it takes a lot of education, a lot of dedication, and a lot of practice. And so, you know, it's a lot of work to get to this point.
And Geralyn, just for our health occupation students at Benson, you know, young high school students, freshmen, sophomore, juniors, and seniors that are just getting started, and they're thinking maybe I want to become a doctor or a nurse or maybe I like sports. What would you say to students that might encourage them to pursue something that you're doing?
Yeah, so I think one great in is sports medicine really encompasses so many aspects of healthcare. I mean, we do a little bit of everything. We do a little bit of wound care, injury prevention. We do a lot of things making sure athletes are in shape and fit enough to compete. And then, you know, we also take care of concussions. We do a lot of rehabilitation and return to play protocols for various things. So if students are interested in the medical field, getting in contact with your athletic trainer at your school is a great way to start, because you're going to get exposed to a lot of that stuff. And, you know, I have a sports med crew that works with me. I'm always going over anatomy. I'm always going over physiology. I'm always going over the little things. And I'm always speaking in med terms, because those are things that are going to expose them. So if they want to go into nursing school or med school or PT school or to be a PA or anything like that, they're already getting exposed to all those things, because that's what's cool about more sports medicine is it's a little bit of everything in healthcare. So, you know, if kids want to do that, that's a great way to start, you know, just getting to hang out, watch some sports, and also getting to learn a lot of cool new things.
Geralyn, thank you so much for a minute of your time. I know you're busy and the game's getting ready to start, so you're going to have to run, but it's great talking with you. And I think a lot of people, you know, really appreciate what you do and have a deep respect for what you do. And just you being here so that everybody stays safe probably means the world to a lot of people.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's one of the biggest things is a lot of people don't really know what we do. And I think that's important for people to be able to see that and know what we do and kind of get behind us in that aspect. You know, a lot of people know what nurses do and doctors do and stuff like that, and athletic training is one of those healthcare professions that we do need more people to know what we do. And you know, that's another thing that I'm always trying to do as well, is make sure everybody kind of understands who we are and what we're about. But yeah, of course, I'm glad to spread the word.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
Great work, Jacob, with that interview.
Yeah, and just demonstrating to our broadcasting students how when you go out to the game on a Friday night, yeah, enjoy the game and have a good time, but hey, you know, notice right in front of you all of the stories and the amazing humans that make this fun, exciting thing happen, and all the stories that they can tell. And you never hesitate to ask them to tell their story. Sometimes you'd be surprised what you might find.
Not at all.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project. This is AM 1450 KBPS Portland, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. My name is Joe Anderson, KBPS Chief of Production and Benson High School Student Body President. This year, I'm working with the Benson Leadership Class and Communicare Oregon to raise funds for nonprofits who provide essential services to immigrant and refugee families here in the Portland area. Your donation is being matched 10 times, and we only need a small amount to make a big impact. More information, including our mission statement and information on donating, can be found on the KBPS website, kbps.am. Again, that's kbps.am. You're listening to AM 1450 KBPS, the voice of the Portland Public Schools. It's Friday, December 16th, 1:36 on your Friday afternoon. We're getting ready to head into winter break, and we're having a good time. The science class next door is making waffles, and the video class is here filming for senior video. My name is Jacob. I'm here joined by a couple of special guests in studio. Well,
we've got the dream team on air right now. My name's Joe. We've got Jacob. And one more person. What is your name?
Judith.
Jacob, Joe, and Judith here on KBPS live to the entire city of Portland. Judith, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I've been a teacher in Portland Public Schools since 1980 and a teacher in Oregon since 1972. But what made me want to talk on the radio here is because I found this beautiful picture of Patricia Swenson, Dr. Swenson, who came when I was teaching first grade at MLC, Metropolitan Learning Center, where I was teaching from 1980 to 1991. She offered special elementary sound effect classes and would come whenever I invited her, which was usually about twice a year. She would come into the classroom. She had a story that she enjoyed telling, but she brought all these wonderful sound effects. We would rattle aluminum foils and roasting pans, and she brought different things for us to shake, and each student got something, and we practiced, and then she told the story on air, and the students would provide the sound effects. And then we would sing together and we would do different things. And she was so good with the children and just made it fun for me to keep wanting to invite her. It's
such a small world. And Judith, you're here today subbing at Benson High School at Marshall Campus. And you just happened to be walking down the hallway and we're out kind of, you know, having a chit-chat in the hallway, having a good time, you know. So we're heading into Christmas break. Everybody's feeling good. And Judith, you call, is this still KBPS? And then here we are. So why don't you come on air and tell some stories with us?
Right. So I asked about Kevin Fling, because he was the person that I used to listen to KBPS like so much when it was a little bit more like stories and things that just really, I don't know, put down now, but it's just so many other things going on, and it always satisfied what I needed as far as just stories and different things that are no longer even allowed on the air.
We used to have a pretty extensive programming on KBPS. Everything from going out and recording, you know, school musicals and really serving the entire Portland Public School District. Over the years we've gotten away from that a little bit. But I am on a mission to reinstate that. We were out at Lincoln High School last week, and I know there's a new broadcasting program at Lincoln. They're producing podcasts involved with their newspaper. We're going to start bringing that programming on KBPS. We're trying to expand our sports casting program, thanks to Joe, who has pioneered, you know, new video streaming. So we're incorporating, you know, new growth in the program, and we've got so much more we need to be doing, my opinion.
Yeah, this radio station, we have so much potential here, and we're working all really hard to get back to those roots that you just mentioned, Jacob, having just student programming, so much of that on the air for our community members. And we've actually partnered with another radio station here in town, 99.1 FM Portland Radio Project, playing local music. And we have a student hour on their radio station and here on AM 1450. It's called KBPS on PRP, student news, conversations, music, things important to students, created by students for the Portland community. And that's here on AM 1450, Saturdays, 8 o'clock, AM 1450, KBPS.am. but also on our partner station, PRP. Mm-hmm. That's 99.1 FM and PRP.FM. We're so happy that we could bring this to our community.
And I want to say really quick, we are doing a fun little thing this weekend. If anyone is able to join us on Sunday, we are hosting and producing a free holiday concert that is happening right here at Marshall High School in the auditorium. If you're not familiar where Marshall is located, the campus of Marshall, Southeast mm-hmm. Portland, mm-hmm. Southeast 92nd and Powell, this Sunday, December 18th, 2 to 4 p.m., it's called the Holiday Gift of Music Concert. Going to be performed by the Rose City Pride Band's Wind Symphony. They got 50 musicians playing some of our favorite holiday songs, and the Bats team, KBPS, were producing the live show. Again, it's free. Everyone is welcome to come join us live in person, but if you're not able to be there live in person, we will be streaming that concert for free live on our website at kbps.am. So, Judith, just like you're saying, you know, we're slowly starting to get back around and getting back into it a little bit.
Right. I would recommend a few things. Yesterday, I was at the grant program, Grantasia. I was subbing at Laurelhurst School, and surprise, surprise, I got on a bus, and we spent 3 hours, wonderful performing arts program there, but they were talking to the kids about, especially the eighth graders, the forecasting. There might be a way that you might be able to have forecasting programs in the eighth grade, because that's when the kids are organizing to come in. The other thing that would be fun is to have somebody like Dr. Swenson used to do, actually go out into the elementary schools, and maybe it's more sophisticated than crumpling and shaking rattling and things like that for sound effects now. Yeah. But still things to do. I mean, I have a keyboard that you just press different buttons and it makes different sound effects. Not fun for a whole class of first graders, but something that a radio person or somebody that you designate, even maybe a volunteer coming into schools, because there will be a teacher in the classroom, of course, to show kids and then tell the story. And it's just really involved. It can be seasonal stories or historical stories or indigenous stories. I mean, there's so many things that that person can do coming into the classroom using those sound effects and bringing life to the children and as they participate. Yeah. So things to think about.
Thank you so much, Judith. That is just an amazing idea. And actually, yesterday I was over at Lane Middle School talking to the kids about coming here to Benson. And of course, you know, I played the radio station for them. I told everything about KBPS to them. They were almost like, come on, slow down, Joe. Tell us about the auto program. Tell us about some other stuff.
Yeah.
But I am hoping that we can maybe work with some of the audio programs over at Grant High School. And we just have so much potential. And we are the voice of the Portland Public Schools. We are not just Benson High School. We are here for all of our schools. And I'm hoping we can totally work mm-hmm. with that. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any reason why we couldn't do something exactly like Dr. Swenson did, bringing mm-hmm. the magic of radio to our children. And I think that's mm-hmm. just a great idea.
Sounds like a great assignment that the radio teacher should be assigning to the radio students. That's genius ideas, Dave. Okay. Genius.
There's nothing that the dream team here cannot accomplish. Joe, Jacob, and Judith here on KBPS.
Right. Yeah, with over 40 years in Portland Public and over 50 years of teaching, I've seen a lot, and radio has really been very exciting. Even though I've never been professional, I've done at another station, I've done some on-air pledge drives and things like that, and I'm comfortable talking. Yeah. So it's great.
Now, 50 years, you said, that's half a century right there.
That's right.
A century. Jacob, is there anything around here that is getting close to that century mark? Could you tell us about that?
KBPS first on the air in March 1923.
Ooh, next year.
And if you do the math, next year, 2023, is the 100th anniversary of KBPS. We have a message about that and some exciting news about our celebrations coming up on our website, kbps.am. We're going to be doing a big thing during Tech Show. show coming up in April, April 20th and 21st, open house. We're inviting all Benson alums, all KVPS alums, and the community to come down to the open house, celebrate with us. We are producing some exclusive limited edition 100th anniversary t-shirts and stickers and coffee mugs that we'll have available. And it's going to be it's not every day you get to turn 100 years old, so we got a party like it's 1923.
It's gonna be a real big party. I was actually talking to our operations manager Scott Young a few days ago, and for the 50th anniversary, he was a student back in 1973, and Patricia Swenson, Dr. Swenson, the general manager, went all out. We had city council members flying in on a helicopter by the field there. It was crazy, and I can only hope that we could get the president in here. We could get, senator. We could do so much. Yeah. And you should stay tuned to KVPS to hear about these celebrations, because you could be a part of it, either just by listening or coming to it, seeing what's behind the scenes. So stay tuned to KBPS for more of that information.
Judith, I thank you so much for your years of service and for being a longtime KBPS listener. That's beautiful. I bet you didn't expect to be on KBPS today.
I certainly didn't.
I'm your host, Joe Anderson. You're listening to KBPS on PRP with your FM dial tuned to 99.1.
Hey, it's Ariana from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you, Schoolhouse Supplies. I really appreciate you because of the material you have given Benson High School. I am using a notebook at school thanks to you. You are helping me at school to do my government work that I need to do and being able to use the markers to underline the important details. I'm thankful for you and the supplies you have given us because we are able to make the banners with markers you have given us. I'm thankful for Schoolhouse Supplies because I have used many equipment in class. They are helping me to get my work in and being able to look for easy access when writing. I appreciate you and everyone who has donated supplies very much.
Thank you, Schoolhouse Supplies. This is Daniel Bergen from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson Polytechnic High School. I'm thankful for you and the supplies you give us because I don't always come to class prepared. So when that happens, I'm grateful to lean on your supplies when I'm not ready. Like if I don't have my notebook, I can use your provided papers to write and keep up with class. Or if I don't have my pencils to write with, it helps me get more work done in less time. So thank you once again.
Hey, it's Fran from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, Schoolhouse Supplies, for the various supplies you've given us, and I think they will be very useful here at KBPS. So thank you so much.
Hi, my name is Jasmine from the KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, Schoolhouse Supplies. I'm using the colored pencils, markers, the crayons to use for coloring paper, and also to just draw in my free time at school. Thanks to you, you are helping me at school to express my creative side when it comes to art. Keep up the good work.
Hey, it's Leslie Ann from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you, Schoolhouse Supplies. I really appreciate you because some students who are in need and some students who can't really afford school supplies and just the KBPS team, how we are all just one big family, and you sitting here and donating us the things that we need, I am just so thankful because we do projects like making posters and doing other little things, and we may need pencils for classwork or just other little things, and you sitting here donating these things to us, I am just so very grateful.
Hey, it's Travis from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you, House School Supplies. I appreciate you because you help kids and teachers save money and give us the tools that not everyday student can use, making teachers' jobs easier. So thank you very much for helping us as a community.
Hey, AM 1450, it's Ileana Brown back. I just want to say thank you to the school, House Supplies. Thank you for providing KBPS classroom with free supplies like paper, pencils, pens, and art supplies and more. It helps students succeed and other students that may not have pencils, papers, scissors, etc. due to like home problems or not getting that much income. So we really appreciate you and thank you for the help and support.
Hi there, I'm Justin Fernander, and thank you, School House Supplies, for allowing Mr. Patterson, one of our greatest teachers here at school, to have free access to school supplies. That free school supplies has helped us a ton, so we just want to say thank you.
Hi, my name's Vinny, and I'm a student at KBPS, and I'm an avid user of the School House Supplies resources. In the event that I lose a notebook or I need to get a new one, the supplies are there for me and available, and it's just great. It's really awesome, and I hugely appreciate it. Thank you to School House Supplies and everyone that donates.
Hi, my name is Alexander Blake Pulsford from KBPS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, School House Supplies. I am using your pencil pouch at school, thanks to you. You're helping me to do schoolwork, and it's been a real help and a lifesaver when I forget pencils at school. And I'm very appreciative of you all, and I appreciate everything that you guys do. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day or night. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Oscar from the KBBS Radio Broadcasting at Benson High School. Thank you so much, School House Supplies, that I'm using this notebook at school thanks to you. You are helping me at school to do homework assignments and all kinds of writing. I'm thankful for you and the supplies you give us because I get to do homework and a bunch of assignments. I'm thankful for School House Supplies because I used pencils and pens in class. They are really helping me to write and do everything I need to do. I appreciate you and everyone who donates supplies very much.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
Hi, I'm Chloe with KBPS with Soren, and today we're talking about his car. So, Soren, what kind of car do you drive?
The car everybody knows me by is my 1993 Mazda Miata.
So why do people know you by that? Because Miatas are, you know, something you somewhat see every day, but there's something special about yours, of course, so you should explain it.
It's kind of, it gets a lot of attention just because of the things that I've done to it. It sits pretty much on the floor. It's a few different colors right now, which I think gives it a good amount of attention.
So when it comes to your car, like, I mean, of course, I know that you slammed it, and it's, you know, you're part of the, what would you call it, the static community?
I suppose. I mean, it's more just like a car community, but really I don't think of it like that. I just have friends who like cars, and I like cars, but I think of them just as my friends, really.
Yeah, I feel that. With the Miata, like, tell us a little bit more about what you've done to it and the story behind it.
So I got it when I was 15. I had always wanted one because the librarian at my middle school had one, and I spent a lot of time seeing it just around the school, and I just grew to like them a lot. And so when I got it, it was a bit rough, needed a lot of work, actually. The reason I wanted to slam it was just because I met this guy at a shop in my old neighborhood who was kind of a big inspiration to me, and he had a slammed GS300 at the time. And so I went with that, and not really knowing much going into it, there was a lot of trial and error. And so now it's got just a full custom suspension setup that I've built, and it's on the floor on 16-inch wheels. Yeah.
So
When you said that your librarian had one, did your librarian have, like, the same year or, like, same, like, generation of your Miata? Or was it a bit newer, a bit older?
I can't remember the exact year, but, yeah, it was the same generation, and just spending a lot of time near it, I just grew to like it a lot.
So what do you, like, what's, have you, like, done differently to your car, I guess? Like, I mean, obviously you slammed it, of course, but, like, how did the trial and error go?
Well, it was the big trial and error was just figuring out how to get it on the ground and driving relatively well. And so it was a lot of, like, figuring out clearancing issues and what was hitting what. And so at first I just took the springs completely out of it to drop it to the floor because that's the easiest way. It's not the right way, but it's the easiest way. But it let me figure out what was going to hit and what was going to be a problem. So I had to cut out my wheel wells on the front and the rear because those cars are really small and they have really small wheel wells. So the tires just sat flat on the wheel wells. And now the wheel wells are tubbed in, but now they're much bigger so that I can fit a big wheel and tire under the car. And for suspension, I had to do extended top pads, shorten spindles, shorten uppers, to make everything fit and ride well, just to get it to sit on the floor.
So now, since your car is, like, you know, on the floor, like you said, or slammed, or whatever you would like to call it, what kind of, like, I guess the what I'm more trying to ask here, because what do other people think about it? Like, people who don't really understand why people do that or stuff like that, you know?
I don't know. The people that I've ran into are always really intrigued, and it's always just a lot of questions. But it doesn't get a lot of, like, super negative attention. It's more just people confused because they don't see stuff like that often. Yeah, and I think they just want to know why I do it and how I do it.
So what do you think, like, the lowest and, like, most camber and everything you've had on the car at one point? Like, what's the lowest, and then what's, like, are you running right now?
So the lowest it's ever been is probably when I first took the suspension out of it. The subframe sat flat on the floor. It was really bad. I drove it down the street once like that and then lifted it up a little bit. And now it sits, like, pretty much perfectly where I want it. And the most camber I ever had at the beginning, it was, like, negative 15 degrees, which was the most. And right now it's about negative 12. And I think in the future, I'll probably turn it back up to negative 13 or 14.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I first met you, that was one of the things I asked about the car was, what's with the turkey plate, you know? But, like, why don't you drive the Miata to school anymore? Like, I see you usually in, like, the Cadillac or the Corolla.
Well, I drove the Miata quite a bit last year, actually. And then I kind of, over the summer, I was just working a lot and didn't have much time to do any of the big things that it needed to get driving. And so now I've got it pretty close to where I want it, like, for good, in terms of, like, a permanent suspension setup that I'm going to stick with that's going to drive and ride the way that I want it to. And so it'll be back soon. It's just, you know, it also, you know, it was out of alignment for a while, and so the tire wear was real bad. And in the winter, it's no fun to drive that thing.
Yeah, honestly, I remember seeing the video of you drifting in the snow, like, last year.
Yeah, the snow is a different story. The snow is kind of fun, and, yeah, I had to bring it out in the snow. But the rain and just, I don't know, it's not that great in the rain. You know, soft top, cold, wet, it's not super fun.
Yeah, convertibles are never fun in these Oregon weather. Well, you know how Benson, you know, the great, great high school. Yeah. there's a lot of car people, and I see some interesting builds and stuff like that. Which ones are you think that you, you know, which ones do you find really interesting or you like?
Some of my favorite cars here. Let's see. Alejandro's old D21 mini truck was really cool. I love that car. Unfortunately, it was stolen recently, which really sucks. But I helped him build that truck, and it was just a fun project, and I always liked it. And it was real low, too. And it was, you know, trucks aren't exactly my style, but the modification that was done to it was definitely my style, and so I liked it a lot. Other than that, Matthew's 335i is really cool. I've helped him with that a little bit. It's pretty fun. It's fast. It looks nice. It's a good car. Actually, for the first time, I think today, I saw, what's his name? Biani, I believe is his name. His 135i, which is a pretty cool BMW as well. I know he's put like a ton of work, and actually it's really impressive what he's done to that thing.
Yeah.
Pretty much single-handedly. That's another one of my favorites. After that, Halen Supra, Celica Supra. It's a 89. It's a pretty sweet car. It's in pretty good condition, and
low mileage. Got it for a really good price. I think it's from what he said about it, it sounded like it lived in a garage for a really long time.
Yeah. No, it's nice. Aside from, you know, some cosmetic stuff that you have to expect on a almost 40-year-old car, it's in real good condition, and it's a beautiful car.
So what was like the, I guess this is kind of a random question I ask a lot of people, but what was the first car you've ever driven? And also, what's the first state you've ever driven that's not Oregon?
The first car I ever drove? I mean, like when I was on my learner's permit, I was driving mostly my mom's minivan. That's what I learned to drive on. And it was good. Actually, probably to learn on that car because it's pretty big. You know, it's not huge, but it's not tiny either. And so you get a good idea of, you know, how much road you take up and the space and the cars around you and that kind of stuff. And actually, just a few months after my learner's permit, I drove with my family down to California. So California was the first state outside of Oregon, I think. I may have went into Washington, but we really don't go over to Washington often, so I think I'm going to have to say California. And we went all the way down to, where did we go? I think the farthest we went was San Francisco. It was a long drive. We didn't do it all in one day or anything, but yeah, it was fun, and that was my first time driving out of the state.
Yeah, I was going to say, first time like at driving out of state for me at least, which for me, my first state I've ever driven in was Hawaii, so it was a little weird. But when I like drove to Washington, because you know there's not a ton of cars in Hawaii, everything rusts and it's like gross. But in Washington, like everyone was driving like a maniac, you know, comparing to here in Oregon, like people are pretty slow here, which pisses me off. I hate it when people drive extremely slow. But people out there, like I was a slow one out there. I was like, oh god.
Yeah, I mean, I think Washington has a way better road and highway infrastructure compared to what we have, and so I think like a lot of their main roads are just like 5, 10, 15 miles an hour faster than our main roads, and they're just set up for those kind of speeds, and so people get used to that stuff. And yeah
I was gonna say, I also like the car scene in Washington.
Yeah, I mean, like Vancouver and Portland are right, you know, not even 15 minutes apart depending where you are, and so they kind of come together, and it creates a pretty big car scene having two relatively big cities right next to each other.
Gonna say, like, there's a couple of car meets I'm probably gonna end up trying to go to this weekend in like Beaverton ish area and like Vancouver. I probably won't, to be honest, but I mean, like, you know, it's cool to see that there's something like that here, because at least for me as a child, like most stuff, like if I saw anything in Oregon or Washington, I'd freak out, because like, you know, pretty much to anyone, like any foreigner or anything, America is California, Texas, New York City land, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think a lot of the meets have moved out of Portland. There might be some politics behind that. But I don't know. I don't really – I can't really justify driving 30 minutes away to sit in a parking lot for an hour and drive 30 minutes back. And so I do actually miss the meets in Portland. But they're not very – common anymore.
Yeah, I feel like the only reason to go one of those meets, if you have like the cool decked out car, you know, you want to show other people and try to get some social media attention or something. But I mean this is kind of getting a little off topic now, but this is kind of something that's pretty big within the car community, I feel like, soon to come, is that California and I think actually Oregon and a handful of other states are banning gas-powered cars by 2035, I think. What's your opinion on that?
I didn't think it was that soon. Or Oregon, actually, for that matter. But on the topic of electric cars, I don't know. I don't think they make as much sense as people like to think that they do. Like, there's no point in having an electric car that is charged by a coal-burning power plant or something like that. It's kind of, I don't know, seems counterintuitive and overhyped, personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just one of those topics that people don't know, like, much about, but, like, they think they do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I don't really like electric cars. I think they're stupid, and you can't even work on them, really. Like, you basically, if you mess up, your car doesn't work anymore, you know what I'm saying? But also, another thing that popped up is eBay Motors is not selling, was it carbon stuff?
I thought that they weren't selling stuff that violated, like, the EPA Clean Air Act, which was, like...
Oh, yeah, exhaust systems, pretty much,
like,
yeah,
like, catless exhaust systems, like, certain computer tuning parts that would change, like, fuel ratios for... which would, in turn, change the emissions outputs. But you can still find a lot of the stuff, and I think it's just going to change the way that people sell that stuff, and it's still... going to be in circulation and just sold more locally, I think, in the future. You know, people are still going to do what they want to do. And so, yeah, it's not going to matter in the long run. It's just going to change the way it's done.
Yeah, I feel that. Also, I mean, you know, breaking news type stuff, the Stancy Pants situation with his, was an RX-8?
Yeah, his RX-8. Yeah, that's definitely been a big topic for a lot of car enthusiast, I guess, in the past couple of weeks, with his car catching on fire. And so, yeah, that's quite the story.
Yeah, I was going to say, you sent me an article about it, that it was, in fact, an act of arson, not just the car messing up or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, what the fire investigation said is they said that it was intentional, which could mean a lot of things. And I think that there's just been a lot of misconception, and people just, because of them not liking somebody, kind of makes them want to think or jump to a certain conclusion about what happened. But I mean, it's kind of a complicated story, but the car did burn, and the owner shortly after claimed that somebody had lit it on fire because they didn't like it, which his car did get definitely a lot of negative attention. And so I think it was easy for him to jump to that conclusion, and I think he wanted to speak on it before it got out of hand, because rumors were definitely already spreading before he said anything. But I don't think that that's actually what happened. Those cars catch on fire. They have electrical issues from factory, and they catch on fire.
Yeah.
There was a recall, you know, a while ago. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, there's a recall a long time ago. And I don't know, I haven't looked into the recall, and I haven't, you know, I don't know if his car went through the recall repairs or procedures. But there's definitely, you know, a problem that was known by Mazda with those cars' electrical systems and their fuse boxes. And so I think it was just an electrical fire. And people, just because they don't like him, they want to say that, like, oh, it was his work, right? And there was definitely, like, some questionable work done to that car that came out.
Yeah.
But there's no way to say for sure what it was or what it wasn't. And I think people just think what they want to think because they don't like the guy. So I'm just kind of waiting for things to come out. I'm sure that the police and fire department will come out with a full report at some point. And yeah, I think that's just kind of my two cents on the situation.
Yeah, I was going to say that community gets a lot of hate, like the stancing and all that. Which is kind of why I also thought to ask you about it, since, I mean, you're one of the only people I know who has a stance car type thing, I guess you could call it.
Sure.
Most of my friends hate that. I don't know why. I don't think it's stupid. I think it's actually pretty interesting, especially being able to, you know, have a car that's not just like some like speed demon or what do you call it? Like a drift car or something like that. It's kind of like its own little thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think they get a bad rap just because people think that it's just, like, ruining the car. Like, you've just ruined it and made it undrivable. And I think people ruin cars all the time by doing all kinds of different things, not just stancing it. My whole goal with this car was to make it sit on the floor because I like that look, but still make it functional and still make it drive well and be reliable. And so that's why I put a ton of work into designing and fabricating a full custom suspension for it, so that it can drive and ride well, reliably.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm thinking about whenever I get money, of course, to get another car and be able to do all this. I would like to also have a car similar to yours. I probably, of course, wouldn't buy a Miata or something like that because I can't be copying you know what I'm saying? But I was probably going to just ask you now, like, what do you recommend for cars to do that to? That, like, parts are easy to get and you don't really have to make your own, because I don't know how to do that, to be honest. So,
I mean, you know, there is something to be said. Like, I definitely wouldn't put, like, a really nice, new, fast car on the floor for no reason. But there's nothing really nice or new about my car. It was just there, and I wanted to make it the way that I wanted to make it. So I think cars that are just pretty basic and simple, I think those are the easiest ones to do that to. Nothing, you know, past 2010, for sure. That stuff gets really complicated. With suspension design and just having a bunch of components, and then parts get really expensive. But I think, you know, smaller 90s Japanese cars are definitely the easiest thing if that's what you're looking for.
I was just going to say, I was thinking about doing that to the Accord, but I mean, to be honest, at this point with how it looks, I just chop the springs on that thing, you know, drop it like that, which I was actually probably after the interview, I was going to ask you about that, what your opinion on that is. But, well, like, what do you think about, like, you don't like the, it's kind of hard to explain, I guess, but you know, like those cars that you, like, don't see often, you know what I mean, that are like that? Like, what do you think about those?
Well, be more specific. What do you mean that I don't see?
Well, like, you know, like, I mean, most cars that I see that are, like, stance like that are, like, you know, newer Miatas and, like, 05 or, I don't remember the years, but, like, Civic, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, like, there's definitely, like, cars that people do commonly do these kind of modifications to, and I think there's definitely some that, like, people don't commonly do them to, and so it's interesting to see. I think the originality is really cool to see. You know, it definitely creates something that's one of one, and that's why I've done so much work to my cars, because I don't want it to look like all of the rest of them, right? And so I think when people take something super out of the ordinary and put it on the floor like that, I think it's really cool to see. I think it's just cool, and I think it takes a lot of dedication to do something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I always like seeing, like, you know, cars that are, you just don't really see, like, that often. I mean, I didn't really explain it very well to you, of course, but, like, I've seen some elements that are slammed, which, I mean, I guess that's, yeah, it's not, I don't know, I've only seen one, but, yeah. Like, I've seen, what do you call them? I've seen, like, Saturn, Saabs, like, newish Saabs, since they got discontinued, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I think a car that is not commonly, like, done with these modifications can be hard, because there's a lot of things that you have to figure out for yourself, and I think, like, with a chassis like mine that people have done everything to, there's always somebody that knows the answer to the question you have, right? But when people are doing things for the first time, and I've actually done a lot of things that I haven't been able to find any information on that I think are one of a kind, which is what's really cool, is that it takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication to get, you know, a lot of trial and error to get something working properly, because nobody's done it before and there's nobody to tell you what and what not to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, since I have what was it, like, fifth gen Accord or something like that, I think. It's fifth gen. Like, I've seen a lot of people do some pretty interesting things to those cars, and that's one of those cars you don't really see like that. Like, usually I see, I think it's sixth or seventh gen Accords that are like that, but fifth, never really see it. So it's pretty fun to watch those. And the wagons, those ones are really fun to watch, like, people do stuff to them as well.
Yeah, I think that's definitely, like, a less common Honda, and so it's cool to see. I think the nice thing about Hondas is that they have a lot of, like, interchangeable parts, and if they're not interchangeable, a lot of similarities between the different chassis. So you can definitely do original stuff and it not be extremely challenging, because there's somebody who knows how to do something similar already, and so you can get some help and some answers on stuff like that.
Yeah, I can. It's that Matthew's car popping right now.
Yeah, I think so.
well, I guess the something that I'd like to, I guess, go over really quick is, again, about, like, the stance cars. Like, I don't really know the full story on how those became a thing. I'm taking it as it's had something to do with the lowrider community and the drift community. Like, do you know?
I don't really know a bunch of the history of, like, that stance stuff. I definitely know that most of it was, I think drifting originated in Japan, and a lot of drivers had their cars pretty low, their drift cars pretty low. And then they went from Japan, they went to Hawaii, and they went to Hawaii and they brought cars over. And I think that that style got introduced to new regions as these people traveled over the seas, right? And so they brought these Japanese drift cars to Hawaii from Japan, and it kind of brought a new element of cars to different parts of the world, right? And I think from there, it traveled over to the USA, and people have been doing that stuff for a long time now. But I think it likely originated from some people in Japan, because at the time, it was mostly muscle cars, old Chevys, old Fords being done here.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like the drag stuff was really big in America.
Yeah, definitely at the time that stance was originating in America, the drift or the drag scene and the muscle car scene was huge here.
Yeah, I feel like Fast and Furious also kind of inspired some of the stuff that people
in
the early 2000s.
Yeah, people
getting those imported parts from Japan, or I mean, pretty sure some stores had stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think those movies actually played a big role in a lot of the things that people do to their cars, especially in America. Those movies were definitely a hit and inspired a bunch of people.
Yeah, I was going to say, my goddad was showing me some stuff people would do, and that shit, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what's your least favorite car? Like, what's a car that you don't really like, or something that you think's overrated?
Least favorite car. I mean, I don't know. There's just some cars that are kind of dumb little normal cars. There's nothing like spectacularly bad about them.
I guess I mean like a overrated car, more or less.
Like an overrated car? I mean, I don't know. I think that there's that actually on the topic of those movies, I think those movies kind of made some cars look a lot cooler than they really were because they were in a movie and they had movie effects and whatnot. And they, you know, jumped them through the air and made them go 300 miles an hour when in reality they wouldn't do any of those things. So I think that, you know, some cars from, like, movies and stuff can definitely be overrated.
Yeah, I was going to say, in my opinion, I think this Mark IV Supra is extremely overrated.
Yeah, it's definitely a big one.
And the R34 Skyline.
Yeah,
well,
people love those cars because of their huge role in those movies. And I think, I mean, they're cool, don't get me wrong, but they're definitely overrated.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a person on Marketplace around here who's trying to sell one for like $100,000. I'm like, you crazy?
yeah. They're only worth that much, or he's only selling it for that much because of how much people like him, not because it's that capable.
Exactly. Well, the bell just rang. I didn't even look at the time, man. Well, thanks for coming in again for the interview.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I guess we can end this off on, cars are pretty cool, you know? And I guess you guys know a little bit more about Soren and his cars and how he got into the stance community and all that. And also car community, not stance community, my bad. And how, I mean, I guess all those type of cars work, because that's not something that you see every day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And I was, thank you for having me on here. It was good.
Yeah, for sure, man. Well, I guess I'll catch you all later. I am Coy at kbps.am.
KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School. Staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools.
Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.